as Open Mic Friday, August the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm Tom Baker, your only host for today, and you can call in with anything on your mind. On Monday, we talked about false prophets. On Tuesday, John Lennon's Imagine, which I really like. On Wednesday, the false teaching of Beth Moore. And on Thursday, with Wes Reimnitz, how saying I'm saved by faith could be false doctrine. So, without further ado, our phone numbers here are 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. Or toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And try and phone in early because we get kind of logged up near the end. Let's start with Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn.
Well, good morning, Pastor. I have a couple of things I'd like to have the opportunity to mention. Oh, that Imagine, I just absolutely love. And the first time I heard it was in church, and I didn't know that was John Lennon's song.
Yes.
And he did bring out that, yes, he was a Christian, that he belonged to the Church of England.
Oh, okay.
The thing that I want to ask you about, well, one, the Tower of Babel, how in the world did they plan to get to heaven when we just passed Pluto? And in fact, it's 3 billion miles away. And just a comment off the line.
Well,
I don't
remember,
know if you've seen Reader's Digest, but they actually have a picture of Pluto.
Well, let me answer that. Remember when the Russians first went into outer space with Sputnik, and it was a manned vehicle? The Russian cosmonaut said, "Guess what? God isn't up here." So they thought that if they just got above the atmosphere, they would find God. And I'm sure that's what the Tower of Babel people were thinking. We're just going to build this thing taller and taller and taller until we reach the heavens.
And I wanted to make this comment. I take my son to get his nails done. I just can't do them. And these people, they're from Vietnam, but they do have a Buddha thing in there. I mean, it bothers me, but the lady that does, Rob, is just so lovely. And, I mean, doesn't speak English. I mean, he can have a little bit of conversation with her.
Yes.
Am I wrong in taking him there? I mean, he's a Christian.
No, I'll tell you why, is because if you were wrong by taking someone who's Buddhist, you'd have to check every grocery store who is the cash register person to make sure that they're not something other than Christian. You see, in the secular realm, God even uses unbelievers to help us out. Imagine if you had a car accident and a Hindu and a Muslim were in the ambulance coming to help you. Are you going to say, no, I'm going to wait till the Christian shows up? No, God uses many people to help us. And it sounds like you've got some good helpers there through God in cutting the nail. So I would have no problem with that at all.
Well, and then the one thing that I did want to say, I really like your conversations always on Thursday, but the thing that really stands out to me on the crucifix shows Jesus still hanging on the cross, but he came down from the cross. So why do we have that?
We do that simply because of a remembrance of how he saved us. For example, do you have a little stable with Jesus in the manger?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, why do you have that? He's grown up now. And you see, you have that as a reminder of what Christmas is all about. So I don't have a problem if your cross has the body on it or if it's empty. If it has the body on it, it reminds you, oh, he paid for my sins. If it's empty, he rose for my justification. So each one has an important point to make. And, you know, there's a lot of churches with drawings or pictures in the stained glass windows of Jesus walk to the crucifixion. And we're not going to say, oh, take that down because it's all over with. No, it reminds us, and we need that reminder, of how far he went to save you, Marilyn, and me.
Thank you, Pastor. I jotted these all down this week, and I was sure hoping I'd get to you.
All right.
God bless your day, your week, and your forever.
Okay, God bless, and thank you for calling, and we're just going to move down the line to talk to Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and I appreciate the programs that you had this week, and I thought of three verses came to mind. When you were talking about the song Imagine.
Yes.
And the points that you made were, you know, that was really focused me on this. Talking about, it made me think of Revelation 7, verse 17, where it says, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd." And that's
yes.
my picture of heaven. That's what, that's what I see heaven as. And it's not my imagination. It's based on God's word. And then the other verse that came to mind was in Exodus 20, verse 24b, where the Lord is speaking with Moses about building an altar.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, the Lord says to Moses, "In every place where I cause my name to be remembered,
yes,
I will come to you and bless you."
Yes. Because his name being remembered means that we trust him. To remember Jesus means that we trust his word and his promises. And that's why in every place where that occurs, we are being blessed. And that mainly occurs in a divine worship or when we read the Bible or we're in meditation or prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the other verse that came to mind was Matthew 18:20, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name,
yes,
there am I among them." And I read the book, the essays in Where Christ is Present, and I think the problem with the Beth Moore teachings, and we had our women's Bible study, and we did a number of them because they really liked her presentation method,
yes,
her videos where she's speaking. She's an entertaining speaker.
That's correct.
So, and they stopped coming to our Bible studies when we stopped using her stuff. But what she leaves out is the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's not sacramental at all.
What she leaves out that's harmful.
Yes.
And I found myself, when we were having the Bible studies, I found myself trying to interject that into it. She had these workbooks that were very intense.
Yes.
And I kept interjecting what we believe about Christ's presence in word and sacrament.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if I had a car sales place, I would hire her.
Uh-huh, yeah.
She could sell a car with only three wheels on it to someone. No, you see, the devil was that good in the Garden of Eden. You know, Eve said, "Oh, really? I will become like God? Oh, yes, you will not die."
Yeah.
And that was the end of it. In fact, it was kind of interesting that the dreams that John Lennon had were quite biblical, even though he didn't know it. And the dreams that Beth Moore has are quite unbiblical, even though she doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a Christian. I do believe she's a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just got her head messed up
from,
you know, questions about how we get to faith in Jesus and this sort of thing. But she had some good points where he died on the cross for our sins. And that's really the essence of the Christian faith. So from that point of view, She's very good.
Yeah, I think from her point of view, they tend to isolate the person of Jesus at the right hand of God, and they don't believe that he can be present with us in word and sacrament.
Yeah, that picks up from Calvin's Reformed theology, where he believed that the human nature and the divine nature are separated, and that the human nature is at the right hand of God, and the divine nature is everywhere. But therefore, when you take the Lord's Supper, you cannot be receiving his true body, because his true body is up in heaven at the right hand of God. And she buys into that kind of thinking.
So it takes all the comfort and blessing out of it.
Yeah, she wants to call herself non-denominational, but at a Bible study I did last night at Trinity Orchard Farm, I explained 8 points of non-denominational people. They're all the same. They don't believe in infant baptism. They don't believe in the Lord's Supper as we do. They believe that you have to invite Christ into your heart. They also think your works are important and make a difference whether you go to heaven or hell. There is no such thing as a non-denominational congregation. They are of the same denomination. It's called a non-denominational denomination.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed is that the Bible Study Fellowship is a group that does the same thing. They say they're non-denominational, but that's what they believe.
I understand that. Well, I sure appreciate your call, Cheryl. Okay,
thanks.
Thank you so very much. And we're just going to go down the line, and let's speak with Mike. Mike, how you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I think I know how you can expose Beth Moore by using the Bible. Real simply, though. Turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to put my glasses on. I can't see.
You can't see without your glasses?
I mean, I can't read without them.
Okay.
It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, and it says, "Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head covered dishonors her head. It is just as though her head were shaved." Now, if she doesn't wear a veil on her head when she's, like, giving her presentations or preaching, that means she doesn't have feminine modesty, and she's a modern woman, and she's with the spirit of the age, and she's really not with God. And that's how you could expose her.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit like that, because the Jewish women did not wear veils. These are the Gentile women, because in Corinth, the only people who did not wear veils were prostitutes. And so Paul is making a cultural thing there. Remember, have you ever been to a Jewish synagogue? The men are the one who wears a head covering.
The yarmulke, you mean?
Yeah, very well said. And so I would disagree with Mike on that one right now, because that's a cultural thing. It would be like when I'm giving out communion at Trinity Orchard Farm, right off there on 94. And some of the girls maybe in the parochial school come to me and said, "Do you mind if we wear a bikini when we come to communion?" Well, I would say, no, that is inappropriate at this particular congregation. But if we're talking about I'm in Los Angeles, Santa Monica, and I'm doing a beach ministry, and we're having a little service on the beach, it's not at all going to be unusual that people are wearing bathing suits or bikinis, and I'm not going to tell them, no, go home and get dressed properly. So the culture, where you're at, the location makes a big difference. And so good point, Mike. And once more, Mike's always reading the Bible to see these things. But we need to be a little careful that when the apostles sometimes criticize things, it doesn't mean that those things apply to us if we're living in a different kind of a culture. For example, Jesus criticizes those people who will not help out their parents because they had promised to give money to the temple. Corban, I think it's called. Well, we wouldn't criticize that because we don't have that practice, at least that I'm aware of. So it's something that we got to keep in mind here, that you got to look at the context of the culture to see what's going on. All righty. Let's go back to the phone lines. I can't believe it. Is this James, who's not calling with only 30 seconds left?
Well, I've been listening to you, and I wanted to ask you this particular question.
Go, James.
Okay, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Wow, you're even in the New Testament. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. And I'd like your law and gospel interpretation of those verses.
Sure.
And is that statement a declarative statement?
Okay, that's the one where it begins, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh?
That's correct.
Okay. You going to stay online? Or?
No, I'm going to go back and listen.
Okay, thank you so much, James. Let me read it first then, for those of you who are driving or don't have a Bible. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Now, what does Paul mean that no longer should we regard Christ according to the flesh? Is he saying that Jesus wasn't a human being? No. Think of the context. Who was Paul at one time? He was Saul. And how did he regard Christ? He thought he was crazy. He regarded him according to the flesh. He was a carpenter. He was born out of wedlock. He's saying to people that he's the Messiah. And Paul was so upset over that he became one of the main leaders among the Pharisees to go out and seek Christians in order to put them into jail. And some of them even died from that. This is looking at Jesus according to the flesh. In fact, this is a really good point James is bringing out here. When you read the Bible, do not read it from your point of view. Read it from God's point of view. I'll give you a perfect example how people read it from their point of view. If I came into a Christian church and I said, is anyone here sinless? I doubt whether anybody would put up their hand. Because from a human point of view, we keep seeing people doing sin and they confess that they're poor, miserable sinners. But from God's point of view, that sin and its punishment has been taken away. God regards a Christian as a saint, a sinless saint, totally righteous because we're wearing the righteousness of Christ. So there's a good example where you don't take something from our point of view. In fact, every religion in the world disagrees with these verses that James is talking about because they see their problem in not being reconciled to God. And they believe the problem is God doesn't want to be reconciled to me. So God is the problem. Every religion in the world outside of Christianity tells you what you need to do to appease or placate an angry God. God's the problem. But listen to this verse that James has brought to us. That in Christ, and that means in the work of Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself. Now, how did he do that? Well, remember, we aren't reconciled to God because of our sin. And that's why the next phrase is so important. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. I've mentioned that a number of times as to what forgiveness means. that God no longer holds you accountable for your sin. You're not going to pay the penalty. And by the way, what better verse can you find than 2 Corinthians 5:19? Now, I'm going to go on a little bit because this shows the mission of the Christian. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Wow. That happens on a Sunday morning. It's called the absolution. The congregation together confesses their sins. The pastor says, upon this, your confession. I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. See, that's how God makes his appeal, through human beings. So, the problem is not that God isn't reconciled to us. The problem is we're not reconciled to God. That's why it is impossible to use reason to get an unbeliever to become a Christian, because Christianity makes no sense at all. Because God is reconciled to people who continue to sin. God is reconciled to people who continue to spit in his face. God is reconciled to people who are his enemies. And you see, here's how we make the appeal. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, and see once more, everything God does is for us. He made him to be sin who knew no sin. Who's that talking about? It's talking about the Son of God. He knew no sin, but he was declared to be sin. Well, when did that occur? It didn't occur just on the cross, where Jesus took upon himself the sins of the whole world. It really occurred at his baptism. At his baptism? By John the Baptizer. Remember what that baptism was? It was a baptism of repentance. Even John the Baptizer said to him, hey, you don't need to be baptized by me. I need to be baptized by you. But Jesus says, no, it is necessary in order to fulfill all righteousness. What he's talking about is the Holy Trinity had a plan from before the foundation of the world, that the second person would become a human being and take upon himself the sin of the world. So, when Jesus consented to be baptized by John the Baptizer in that baptism of repentance, God declared him to be sin. Listen to verse 21 again. For our sake, the Father made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is why Christianity makes no sense at all. Just by trusting promises of the gospel, God declares you to be righteous? Well, what percentage after that are you a sinner? You're 100% sinner. Well, what percentage are you righteous? You're 100% righteous. Wow, what a difference Christianity is from everything else. And that's why we encourage you to continue to listen to KFUO. As far as I know, it's the only radio station in the whole world where you have a consistent message of what the Bible truly teaches. Oh, there are other radio stations that occasionally have some good preaching going on, some good Bible teaching. But then right after that program, you've got some kind of a healer or somebody telling you to invite Christ into your heart or some nonsense like that. No, if you really want to hear a proper word and sacrament ministry, we encourage you to attend Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And if you're anywhere near where I'm kind of full-time at this point, namely Trinity Orchard Farm out there on Highway 94, guess what? Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and at 10:30, we have worship services with a 9:15 Bible study. And you're certainly invited to attend. And there are numerous items going on during the week, including I teach a Thursday night Bible study. And we also have a parochial school. They're going to be beginning next week. And guess what? It's free to attend the parochial school. Now, if you want more information, call Trinity Orchard Farm. I'm Tom Baker. Until Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.